Heaven. I don't mind this on especially Wednesday evenings after the service. If there are any children that would like to come by my office for some candy, under your mom and dad's discretion, you may do so. I'll go right there. I have a candy bucket that I keep, and so I know a lot of you partook of that. A lot of you kids partook of that, even some of you teenagers, which is okay. And amen. Yeah, for a first amen, I thought I'd ever get out of Sean. Wow. Amen. Anyways, I'll give him a hard time. But anyways, yeah, if some of you kids or all you kids want to come by, come on by right after the service, and I'll be more than glad to give you some candy as I did before. You know, I'm going to start a series here, I think. I hope, I'm not sure how long it'll go, to be honest with you. Series sometimes can take 2 weeks. Or it could be 4, or it could be 8 weeks, or maybe 8 months, I don't know. We'll just kind of see where the Lord directs here. It's going to be on leadership. I don't claim to be a great leader. I'm far from it, to be honest with you. I don't know of any leader that really likes to lead. I don't know of any leader who ever has asked to lead. But I pray that at the end of the series on leadership that it will help us develop some leaders for the cause of Christ. Of course, the Bible states, reads that the harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. And we definitely in our churches need leaders. We definitely in our homes need leaders desperately, I'd say, even today. And in America, we need leaders. So I trust it'll be a blessing to you. I don't want to go, I hope I don't go so long that won't be interesting to you. I hope it'll be a blessing and a help. But Genesis chapter 37, I'm going to go ahead and read several verses here. And it talks about, of course, it picks up the story of Joseph, a young man here at this particular passage. In verse number 1, I'm going to read 14 verses here, and then I'll refer to some others tonight. Probably what I'm preaching or teaching tonight is more by way of introduction into some main points down the road. So if I'd gone ahead and kept typing and jotting down my thoughts today, preached all that I wanted to preach, we'd be here till who knows when. And but tonight I think it's more of an introduction on leadership. Genesis chapter 37, you just want to follow along. And Jacob dwelt in a land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with his sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably with him. And Joseph dreamed a dream and told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto him, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying, and his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, Here am I. I'm going to read verse 14. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, and whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he went, so he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Now, Lord, I pray, God, that you bless this time, the short time that we do have. I pray, God, that you would anoint my lips. Do thou which only you can do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Joseph, of course, he's a teenager. I think that's very valuable information here. The fact that here's a young 17-year-old boy with whom his father loved very much. We know the story. The same boy, because of his love, his dad loved him so very much, was hated by his brothers. And they hated him so much that they couldn't even speak, the Bible says they couldn't even speak peaceably with him. Of course, Joseph, we know the story how he had the dreams, the two dreams, and his brothers couldn't even stand being around him. They couldn't stand him, first of all, because he was loved more by dad, and the very fact that probably he could have been, to a certain degree, a spoiled brat, I guess. But he also dreamed these dreams, and his brothers, of course, said, "What, you're going to reign over us? I don't think so." And the Bible also says here he was scolded by his dad, but his dad observed the saying. You know, I wonder why Israel, why Jacob, he observed the saying. I believe that Jacob was such a godly man that he thought that there might be something to these dreams. I think he probably read into that. You know, man, this is, you know, I think maybe he read into these dreams and he thought maybe something might come of this. But his brothers, they didn't want to be around Joseph any longer. So his brothers left to watch the flock and to get away from Joseph as far as possible. But now I want you to note here, I want you to listen here. Dad, okay, Israel, went to Joseph. And he said, "Now, Joseph, I want you to go check," you know, in verse number 13. Israel said unto Joseph, "Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them." And he said, "Here am I." Now, Jacob asked a big thing of Joseph, I think. I do. Here, he went ahead, and listen, I'm going to use this a little bit here in my teaching here, I think. Let me see. Testing. Can you hear me? All right. Jacob came to Joseph and said, "Hey, I want you to go down to Shechem, and I want you to check on your brothers. I want you to go down. I want you to bring word to me again." Now, all Joseph said here was, "Here am I." You know, I think Joseph, knowing that his brothers hated him, I think Joseph, knowing that maybe harm could be done to him by doing this task that he asked, you know, Joseph did not respond, "Well, but Dad, I mean, come on now. You know, my older brothers, they don't like me. My older brothers are going to hurt me. You know, Dad, I don't want to. You could send somebody else." Joseph didn't do that. You know, the simple response was, "Here am I." You know, at this time in this young man's life, I believe God was preparing a leader at this particular moment. Joseph did not realize the impact of them three words, "Here am I," until later on in life. And I think he showed great leadership by not rebelling against that. "Dad, come on, Dad, let's reason with me a little bit, Dad." You know, he could have gone ahead. I think he could have gone ahead. "Dad, do you understand? My older brothers, they hate me. They despise me. That's why they're not here, Dad." But you know what? His response was, "Here am I." God at this time was preparing a young man's life as a leader. Joseph did not know what to expect on going on this journey. I think that he believed, perhaps, maybe with a little bit of reservation, that he would return to the security of home after the task, but he never showed back up. He never came back home. And Joseph's obedience, okay, note this now, Joseph's obedience made him a great leader. By that three-word response, "Here am I." You see, when he obeyed Dad back as a young man, Joseph did not know that that one act was going to go ahead and put him into a big leadership role. He didn't know that. He, you know, and by the way, you know, young person, when mom or dad ask you to do something, it's not for you to go ahead and it's not your business. It's not for you to go ahead and backtalk them. It's not for you to go ahead and say, "I don't want to." It's not for you to go ahead and say, "I'll do it later." If mom and dad ask you or even tells you, "Hey, go clean up your room," that means you stop what you're doing and you go clean up your room. If mom or dad says to take out the trash, that means you stop what you're doing and you go take out the trash. Not 2 hours later, not 3 hours later. Later, not next week, okay? By next week, the trash is overflowing. No, you do it immediately. And Joseph's immediate obedience showed that he was a true leader. You see, the flesh doesn't like to lead. Or the flesh, I should say, doesn't like to follow. Okay, and the very fact that, you know, Joseph's flesh, I could say, man, come on, I can imagine, come on, Dad, think about it. But the flesh really doesn't want to follow. The very fact that Joseph overcame the flesh, okay, as a young man, and said, "Dad, I'm going to go ahead and do this," shows great leadership in this young man. The greatest act that one can do when asked is to obey. And you know, it doesn't matter how old we are in here tonight. You know what? We simply must obey. Okay, we have laws of the land to obey.
We have the Bible to obey. We have God to obey. You know what? I still have a mom and dad, and I thank God for their training in my life. But you know what? I call up my mom and dad from time to time, and if I need advice, I listen to my mom and dad. That's not a bad rule. If you've got a mom and dad, and you're an adult tonight, boy, you ought to thank God, first of all, your mom and dad is still alive. And you know what? You ought to go ahead and talk to them, and you ought to get advice from them. But back to our passage here, you know, we are required to obey authority. Okay, teenagers, young people, you're required to obey parents. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Very simple verse. But you are required to obey your parents. The Bible also says, I think it's in Hebrews, the reference left me, but obey them that have the rule over you. Okay, so that means if I go to work and I punch somebody else's time clock, he's my boss, so I'm to obey him. Okay, I don't have to go ahead and set my own agenda. You know, it's his agenda. Okay, but we need to be obedient to authority. We need to be obedient to parents. We need to be obedient to teachers, people that are trying to teach you and to train you in life. We ought to be obedient to the preacher. We ought to be obedient, obviously, to God, the Bible, the laws of the land. We are to obey authority. You know, I never asked for leadership. It just came to me. When I went to Calvary Baptist Church out of Hiles Aronson College in 1998, my plan at that time, and just to give you a little bit of a background here, I had a senior appointment in college to meet with Brother Hiles. And Brother Hiles wanted every senior at Hiles Aronson College to meet with him. And so I set up an appointment my senior year, towards the end of that year, and I sat down with Brother Hiles, and he said, okay, what do you want to do? And at that time, I believed that God wanted me to go ahead and start a church in Maine. That was at that time, I believed it. So he sat down, literally, and by the way, he was my preacher, okay? Note this a little bit. He was my preacher. You know, it's a good idea, you get in a rut, to get counsel, okay, and obey counsel, okay? So he was my preacher. I sat down, and he literally mapped out my life, okay? He knew that once I walked across the platform of First Baptist Church in May of that year, he knew that I didn't want to hang around long. I didn't like Chicago, all right? I didn't like the Chicago area, man. I mean, you got stone trees and all that. I worked downtown. I really did not like Chicago. I thank God for the training I had. I thank God for where I was. Don't misunderstand me. I love going back to visit, but boy, God, don't send me back there. Okay? Don't misunderstand me. But the truth of the matter is, he sat down with me, and I thank God he did. And he literally mapped out my life. He says, okay, Sean, this is what you do. Okay? Obviously, you want to, as soon as you graduate, you want to get your family out of here. He said, that's fine. And so you need to be thinking and planning and praying and preparing to go up north. I was going to start a church at that time in Bangor, Maine. That was my plan. I was 28 years old. That was my goal. My wife was pregnant with our last child at that time, during that time frame. So he said, you know, why don't you do this? You go back to Maine, find yourself a little cheap apartment, and this is what we did. Okay, we found ourselves a cheap little apartment, and I had three children, and Abby was due to be born when we had moved back. Okay, and we found ourselves, no joke, what is considered a one-bedroom apartment. Okay, that's all we could. That's all we had. Okay, we had three little ones. My teenagers that I have now, they were a lot smaller then, and but we just squeezed everybody in every nook and cranny. So we had three children, my wife and I, and then I had some brainiac idea of bringing home one day this big old black Newfoundland lab. Okay, Newfie lab. It was a big old dog. Why? My wife, I mean, greatest dog in the world. His name was Jake. Anyways, but we brought him home, and we were nice and cozy in that little place. So anyways, and Brother Howes, also in our senior point, he says, you know what? Then you go back, and you give, okay? Go back to your home church. Calvary Baptist Church was my home church, and you serve there for a little while. In the meantime, you be praying for Bangor. You be making some behind-the-scenes plans for you after the baby is born. For this purpose, he said, take this little apartment, and after your baby is born, then you start thinking about moving northward and starting a church. So, Okay, I did that. Everything was right according to plan. I moved back home, found ourselves a little place, a little cheap place to live. I just started serving in the church. I mean, I just got busy. I was not on staff at that, obviously, at that time. I just went ahead and started serving in the church. I knew that at that time, the church, you know, prior to that, my preacher had an illness, and the church was just struggling in some areas. And I just said, "Hey, preacher, I'm here for 4 or 5 months. What do you want me to do?" "Well, you know, the youth program needs a little bit of fixing, and the bus ministry, you know." I said, "Okay, you know what, I'll be a layman. I'll serve you any way I can." So I just got busy. I took a bus my first week there. I was bus captain of a route. That first week, also within a couple weeks, I should say, I went ahead and I started up the youth group, okay, and different things. Basically, I worked myself into a job. And but by the way, you know, I did not call for any leadership role at Calvary Baptist Church. I did not go to preacher and say, "Hey, how about me? Why don't you let me be an assistant pastor? Why, you know, I'll help all with all these." I didn't do that. I went ahead and I just got busy where I was at. And because I decided, and again, I wasn't looking for it. No leader, I don't think any leader looks for a leadership role. But I just got busy where I was at. I just decided I'm going to go soul winning where I'm at. I'm going to go ahead and work a bus route. This is what preacher wants. I'm going to go ahead and serve God right here. And you know what? Ultimately, that put me in a leadership position. Within 6 months of the time that I moved from college, preacher sat down with me. And I knew the budget of the church. I was like, I couldn't believe this. I knew the budget of the church. He called me in his office, and he said, "Sean, would you go ahead and consider being an assistant pastor here?" And all I did was laugh. I didn't know what to say. I said, "Pastor, we just had a business. I think this was a Thursday. We just had a business meeting last night." You know, he says, listen. "We have some designated money to go ahead and put you on staff for a year, for 2 years, I should say. Would you consider it?" I said, "Well, you know, I prayed about it, I considered it, and that's what I did." Now, 2 years turned out to be 9 years, okay? But the truth of the matter is, what did I do? I didn't ask for the leadership role. I didn't ask to be youth pastor, or bus director, or assistant pastor at Calvary Baptist Church. What I did was I got busy where I was at, and God went ahead and blessed me with a leadership. And I'm glad that I did. Now, don't expect to be a great leader if you can't follow the rules. You know what? One thing I learned in any job, but when I was working for Calvary Baptist Church, you know what? I knew as an assistant, it wasn't my agenda. It wasn't what I wanted as far as Calvary Baptist Church. It's whatever God laid on preacher's heart. Preacher was, Pastor Christian was my boss, and that's what I did. It's not my agenda. So somewhere, you know what, you're not going to go ahead and become a great leader of anything, okay, if you can't simply follow the rules. People want the privileges of leadership, but they're not willing to pay the price. You know, oftentimes, if you want to be a leader, and not everybody does, but if you choose to go ahead and be a leader, if you said, "Man, I'd like to be a bus captain. I'd like to have this leadership role. I'd like to do this." You know what it's going to take? It's going to take you rolling up your sleeves and going to work. That's what it's going to take. If you choose that. Now, people like think there's all kinds of bells and whistles to leadership. And yes, to a certain degree, there are, obviously. But the truth of the matter is, if you are going to be any kind of strong leader, if you're going to have any kind of influence on people, you're going to have to just go ahead and roll up your sleeves, and you're going to have to go to work. People want the privileges that come with it, but they're not willing to pay the price. If you're ever going to go ahead and be a leader, you must be a good follower. You must learn how to follow first. You know, if you can't learn to follow first, then you're not, and if you can't be a good follower, you will not be a good leader. It's so very, very important to get these principles. Joseph, he portrayed this by following his dad when he asked him to do something and obeyed his dad. And the result is he went to Egypt and he became the second in the land there. You know, maybe you're a child or a teenager, you know, in your home, you need to understand it's not your agenda. Okay, it's not what you want in the home, it's what mom and dad wants. If they ask you to do something, you need to go ahead and do it. But you know, there's so much chaos today in our homes simply because mom and dads, they don't lead their children. You know what? That's why we're there. We need to simply lead and guide our children. Okay? Instead of, sometimes I think we're too busy trying to be our children's best friend than we are trying to teach them and lead them in the right way. Now, listen, I'm not opposed to being obviously kind and gracious to your child. That's very important. I'm not opposed to going to your child and maybe taking them out to eat and doing certain things. But the truth of the matter is, my primary job as a dad is to do everything I can to make my children and lead my children to right. Okay, it's not necessarily, sometimes I may have to go ahead and get on them if they do wrong. Obviously, there needs to be boundaries. And if they cross over that boundaries, okay, if they know what the boundary is and they cross over it, they know that there's a consequence to that action. Okay, and my job as dad is to go ahead and lead my children to right. And if they cross over any certain boundaries, then there is a punishment to that action. So child or a teenager, it's not your gender at home. And parents, we need to get out of this attitude or whatever it is that, well, we need to just buddy up to our kids. No, our job is to love on our kids, but in also not just love them, but our job is to lead them. Our job is to lead them. We ought to lead our children to do right. We ought to lead our children to read their Bible. We ought to lead our children to church. Okay, we ought to lead our children to godly authority, if you will. We ought to lead our children to the preacher. We ought to lead our children to Christ. Okay? So, children, it's not your agenda in the home. It's not your agenda in the classroom. Okay, there's so much chaos today in school simply because there's no leaders. You know, it's sad today. It's sad that we have to have policemen oftentimes. I don't know what the system is like around here, but I know schools in Maine have to have policemen roam the halls. You have to have, in some schools in America today, you know, kids have to go through a metal detector to make sure they have no firearms with them. Whatever happened to America? I'm going to tell you what happened to America. You know, and by the way, it stemmed from the home. It stemmed from the lack of mom and dad disciplining mom and their child or their children when they do wrong. So what happens when they go to school, they act however they want. And then the school system, they don't know what to do with a rowdy child. They don't know what to do. Their arms are up. So they've gone ahead to have to resort to policemen walking the halls to try to monitor the kids and try to settle them down. Hey, the truth of the matter is there's a lot of chaos today in our homes. There's a lot of chaos today in our public schools. There's a lot of chaos today in America simply because there are no leaders. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. You know what? We could have a change in America tonight. We could have a change in our leadership in America tonight if we as God's people would simply get on our knees and pray, humble ourselves before God, and ask God to forgive our sins. Then God might heal our homes. He might just go ahead and heal our lands. He might just go ahead and heal our schools, but it's not going to be until God's people get on their knees to God, say, okay, God, forgive me. Okay, God, I'm submitting myself to you. Forgive my sin. And then he promises that he will heal our land. The chaos we see around in the homes and schools and the crimes that we see and the murder and the rape and the rebellion and all the stuff that you see today is all because of a lack of discipline in the home. And in so doing, it's not creating strong leaders. You know, today, and we live in a society where it seems like every state would like to pass laws that you can't discipline your child. You know, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. You know, as I mentioned before, if you have rules in your home, and you know, tonight I want to give you my heart, and I want to help you. I want to help you. I really want to help you develop some young leaders in your home. And parents, if we can all learn to be better leaders to our children and better leaders on the job and different things, boy, it'd be very important. But you know what? They want to try to pass all these laws that we can't discipline our child, that we can't spank our child. Listen to what the Bible says. Let's see what God says about this real quick. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. Very, very familiar verse, but Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. 4. Let me see here. Okay. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Okay, the Bible says here, okay, one reason why we've got some chaos going on, one reason why we are developing a lack of leadership today simply is because in the home, we as parents aren't doing our part in disciplining our child. Now listen, okay, here's an order that ought to be. You have a child, you have rules for that child, okay, obviously. You don't discipline your child. I have no right to go ahead and discipline my child or swat my child, if you will, until they know what the rules are. I mean, that's fair game. They ought to know, okay, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. Now, you cross over that, then there's a consequence. All right? Follow me here. Now, the Bible says, okay, if they pass over that, okay, and it is a rule that is broken, the Bible says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him, I'm going to love my child enough, I don't want him or her to go ahead and continue to do that. So the Bible says for me to go ahead and swat my child. That's God's law. That's what the Bible says. Now, listen to me. Hold on. Let's read another verse here. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Let's see what God says right here. Proverbs 22, 15. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, 15. Let's see here. Yeah, let's right here. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. You know, we have a lot of foolishness going on in the world today simply because back here in the home, it's not been dealt with. Okay, foolishness, that's silliness, or that's just jesting and foolish whatever. It starts right here in the heart. Okay? The Bible says that the heart is wicked above all things. Who can know it? So some way along the way, I don't want my child to live a wicked life. So therefore, as a leader, as a parent, I got to have rules for them to obey. So if I don't, because, hey, listen, when we're born, hey, you know what? We're human. We make mistakes. Foolishness, the Bible says, is bound in the heart of a child. So how are we going to go ahead and have our foolish actions gone? How are they going to go ahead and disappear, if you will, if you want to put it that way? How are they going to go ahead and be driven away? The Bible says it's by the rod of correction. So if my child passes a line, okay, and I don't want the seed of evil to go ahead and grow in their heart. I don't want the seed of bad things, if you will. I don't want evil to go ahead and increase in their heart. And if I don't go ahead and as a parent nip it in the bud, no wonder why we have rebellion today. No wonder why we have chaos today. No wonder why, no wonder when you try to talk to teenagers or young people today and as an authority figure, they just laugh at you. Simply because it's not dealt with. Simply because there's a breakdown there that's so very important. And we need to deal with it. As parents, we need to deal with it. He that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Foolishness, the Bible says, is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. So before foolish behavior sets in the heart, you need to deal with it. You need to nip that in the bud. You know, I grew up on a dairy farm. It's hard to believe, you know, someone like me. I mean, I was a perfect angel. Amen? Okay? But no, but listen, you know, I thank God I grew up in a home. By the way, my parents gave me the rules. And if I went past that, there was a consequence. There was a consequence for my actions. And I thank God that I had a dad because the Bible says, okay, the Bible says, but he that loveth him chasteneth betimes. Okay? I'm glad that my dad loved me enough that when I did wrong, that he went ahead and he did take me to the corner, or he took me to a room, and he just swatted me for my misbehavior. And guess what? I turned out okay. I turned out right. Okay? Now listen to me. Listen to me. Spanking is biblical. Disciplining, listen, is biblical. Okay, you don't take, you know, unfortunately today, people have taken it way out, and that's why the laws are being passed. People have taken it way out of context on this spanking. They take whatever, they take ball bats or whatever. That's not how you discipline a child. That is far from it. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? If a child does wrong, I'm talking about your child, you need to set up the rules, and you need to figure out what the consequences would be. And if it, and biblically speaking, if it's an action that is terrible, that needs to be dealt with, then, you know, the Bible says it's biblical to go ahead and swat your child. And, you know, it'll help your child in the long run, and it'll drive that foolish behavior all away. That's why we have kids out of control, because there's a lack of discipline. That's why we have young people not necessarily being the leaders that they could be, because of a lack of discipline. You know, my desire for my kids, my desire for anybody here, my desire for our church people would be that we'd be the kind of leader God wants us to be, the kind of husband and wife that God would have us to be. That's a leadership role. Maybe in this room tonight, as a result of our love for our child and disciplining our child so that when they grow up, the foolishness will be driven away. Maybe there's in this room tonight some young people that might become a pastor simply because of the proper way of handling your child at a young age. Maybe there's a future Sunday school teacher in here. Maybe there's a future deacon in here. Maybe there's a future boss of a company somewhere. All leadership roles, maybe a godly parent, maybe even the president of the United States, who knows? But how are they going to go ahead and rise to the level of godly leadership that the Bible talks about? It's going to take we as parents and leaders to do our part to lead our children. Yes, when they do wrong, let me tell you something. If you're diligent in disciplining your child when they do wrong, you know what? And you're more diligent. You know what? It gets less and less as they get older that you'll have to go ahead and do such things. Some people say, oh, it's so terrible. Yes, it is. You know, it's not the easiest thing in the world. When my child did wrong, it's not the easiest thing in the world for me to go ahead and go swat them. That broke my heart. And they'd always say, yeah, right, Dad. Yeah, but it did. It broke my heart. I didn't look forward to say, yes, I get to go discipline my child today. I didn't do that. You know, turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm through. I'm almost done. This is just introduction to our leadership. But we have a breakdown in our young kids today. We have a breakdown in leadership, I should say, simply because we've failed in the areas of the home. We've failed in the areas of our schools. And we failed, yes, I should even say, in the areas of our churches. So we kind of get to a point where we buddy up with all the kids, even when they do wrong. But boy, there's got to be a time when they do wrong that they've got to understand there's a consequence to that wrong. All right, we'll go to Hebrews in a moment. All right, if you go ahead and, this has happened to me a few times. If you go ahead and you get in your vehicle, you're a little behind getting to work. You left a little bit late getting your vehicle. And you say, man, I got to hurry, I got to hurry, I got to hurry. Now, this happened to me. Just happened to me back a while ago in Maine. Got to hurry, got to hurry, got to hurry. And you come to a speed limit sign. You go 20 miles over that sign, and all of a sudden, the pretty blue lights show up behind you. We knew what the law, we knew what the rule was, 50 miles an hour. But you know what? There's a consequence to that action. You want to go 75, which I do. All right? Some of you are smiling. I just had a conversation with a dear one earlier. You know, I've been down that road. I've been down that road. But the truth of the matter is, listen, but you know what? There's a consequence to that action. So, you know, so, well, that's not fair. The police officer gave me an $80 ticket for, duh. You deserved it. All right? I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer. The rule is there. So when you stepped over the rule, okay, the consequence is there. So, again, and I'm reiterating a little bit, you have the rules for your children, okay? They step over it, okay? and you kids go, well, I can't believe that you're going to discipline me, mom and dad. Well, you knew the rule. You know, how often, some of you kids ought to get this a little bit. You get all upset at mom and dad because they take away something, they put you in the corner, or they say no TV for a week, or whatever the case may be. You get all upset, but you already knew the rule. You already knew the rules ahead of time, and so you want to go ahead and backtalk mom and dad and backtalk authority and what have you. Hey, you know what I'm trying to get at. Hey, there's a consequence to our action. Moving right forward here. You know the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, let me read a few more verses, and I'll be through. I know I said that about 5 minutes ago, but I haven't heard a lot of amens tonight. Amen? All right, okay. Some of you amen and now so we can try to land this thing. All right. But, you know, in Hebrews chapter 12, I love this passage in verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted under blood striving against sin, and have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Hey, you know what? God loves you so much. You're a child. If you're saved tonight, you're a child of God. Same principle fits. Okay? As a dad, I love my child. Okay? I want my child to succeed. So therefore, there's got to be some rules there. They pass over it, then there's discipline time. Okay? Now, let's look at it this way. I love this. The very fact I know I'm a child of God tonight is that Jesus, when I do wrong, our Heavenly Father, when we do wrong, He'll chasten us. Sometimes He's got to get the old spiritual whip out, if you will, or the spiritual rod out, if you will. And thank God that you can't get by with sin. You know, the Bible says that for whom the Lord loveth, he scourges, he chasteneth you. And I thank God that when I do wrong, when Pastor Weeks does wrong, that God will not let me go ahead and get away with it. And sometimes he's got to take me to the old woodshed, and he's got to get the rod out, and he's got to spank me spiritually. Why? So I can be more fruitful for him. Why? So I can become the kind of Christian he wants me to be. Why, young person, does mom and dad, who loves you so very much, have to discipline you when you do wrong? Because they want you to be a success. They want you to go on and do some great things in life. Why is it that God, he seems to punish you when you do wrong? Because he loves you. And it indicates you're his child. Boy, I thank God. I thank God that we can't get away with sin, and God doesn't just overlook, oh, you know, that's just a little thing. No, God doesn't overlook it. And he goes ahead and he chastens us. Why? Because he loves you. You know, I know that, as I mentioned before, there's a breakdown. You know, my desire, and I'm going to spend several weeks on leadership, but I just kind of went through very, very brief introduction on what we're going to teach and learn the next several weeks. But here was Joseph, a young man, 17 years old. He learned at a young age. 17 years old, he took on a big job. He didn't negotiate with his dad and say, Dad, come on now. You got to understand, you want me to go do this task. You know, he didn't go. He said, okay, here am I. The key to real leadership, young people, the key to real leadership, church people, tonight, is obedience. Is obedience. You're not going to have all the bells and whistles of a leader until we first learn to obey. And then, you know, Joseph, obviously, okay, he learned to obey. He had to go ahead and go to work, and he had to do that task. So you got to obey, and then you just got to roll up your sleeves and go to work. And as I mentioned before, just to review, you know, there's a breakdown of leadership. Why is it we don't have strong leaders today? Because somewhere along the way, there was a breakdown there, maybe in the home, primarily in the home, of moms and dads not willing to go ahead and discipline when a child does wrong, not willing to set the boundaries so that when their child crosses over, you know, there was not a consequence to the action. You know, we need leaders today. Here we are, we're upon a presidential election. Boy, who is going to lead this country? And we got to understand tonight that it's going to take obedience on our parts. If we're going to be the kind of leader, okay, you're here tonight and you are a leader. Okay, what's it going to go ahead and take for you to continue to be the kind of godly leader that you are to be? Obedience. Every day. How am I going to go ahead and pastor this church and be the kind of pastor I need to be to you people? I got to obey God every day. You know, I got to obey God, and I got to just roll up my sleeves and go to work. Hey, leadership. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, very simple illustration of Joseph, a fine, fine young leader. I pray, dear God, that maybe tonight, in the heart of some young people, maybe in the heart of an adult, maybe there'll be some leaders born. Maybe they'll understand that a little bit why it is that when they do wrong, they're disciplined. Maybe they'll understand why it is that when they cross over the line, that maybe they get a spanking, they get a swat, or whatever the case may be. I pray that maybe tonight will be the start of some new young leaders being born. Maybe there's some folks here tonight. We have several leadership positions that are here tonight, people that fill the role. And I pray, dear God, that maybe you'd continue to work on their heart to continue just to be obedient. Just roll up their sleeves and keep going forward and working the task that you've given them. I pray, dear God, that as we talk on leadership for the next few weeks, that we'll all become better leaders, whether it be a parent, whether it be a boss, whether it be a pastor or a Sunday school teacher, that we'll all become or develop into better leaders. I pray, Lord, you'd bless. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's stand.